スデバヤ。オンナモバゲバテバスデバヤ。This morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 17, Text 30.
Yo vaitvayad vinavakrit vaudata chakra.
Yo vaitvayad vinavakrit
vaudata chakra. Bhagno mridekkalu bhavantam anantaviryam.
Bhagno mridekkalu bhavantam anantaviryam.
Jitva nriloka niratam sakripura darpo.
Jitva nriloka niratam sakripura
darpo. Yusmat prajaru jatino jitatat videhi. Yusmat prajaru jatino jitatat videhi.
Yovai vatvaya
Defeating Niloka, human affairs, Nirantam, absorbed, Sakrit.
Only once.
Uda.
Inflated.
Darpa.
Pride.
Jusmat.
Yo.
Praja.
Subjects.
Rujati.
Torment.
Na.
Us.
Ajita.
Unconquerable one.
Tat.
That.
Videhi.
Please rectify.
O wielder of the disc, your strength is unlimited,
and thus 17 times you crushed Jarasandha in battle.
But then, absorbed in human affairs, you allowed him to defeat you once.
Now he is so filled with pride that he dares to torment us, your subjects.
O unconquerable one, please rectify this situation.
Translation, please repeat.
O wielder of the disc,
your strength is unlimited.
And thus 17 times you crushed Jarasandha in battle.
But then, absorbed in human affairs,
you allowed him to defeat you once.
Now he is so filled with pride that he dares to torment us.
Your subjects.
O unconquerable one,
please rectify this situation.
Purport.
The word Nriloka Niratam indicates that the Lord was absorbed in playing within the world of human beings.
Thus, while acting like a human king, he allowed Jarasandha to be victorious in a single battle after the Lord had crushed him 17 times.
The kings here imply that Jarasandha is especially harassing them because they are souls surrendered to Lord Krishna.
Therefore they beg the Lord, O you who hold the chakra weapon high, please make the proper arrangement.
Srila Prabhupada expresses the king's feelings as follows.
My dear Lord, you have already fought with Jarasandha 18 times consecutively, out of which you have defeated him 17 times by surpassing his extraordinary powerful position. But in your 18th fight, you exhibited your human behavior, and thus it appeared that you were defeated.
My dear Lord, we know very well that Jarasandha cannot defeat you at any time, because your power, strength, resources, and authority are all unlimited. No one can equal you or surpass you.
The appearance of defeat by Jarasandha in the 18th engagement is nothing but an exhibition of human behavior.
Unfortunately, foolish Jarasandha could not understand your tricks, and he has since then become puffed up over his material power and prestige. Specifically, he has arrested us and imprisoned us, knowing fully that as your devotees we are subordinate to your sovereignty.
Translation, O wielder of the disc, your strength is unlimited, and thus 17 times you crushed Jarasandha in battle, but then, absorbed in human affairs, you allowed him to defeat you once, and now he is so filled with pride that he dares to torment us.
Are your subjects, O unconquerable one, please rectify this situation.
Now the kings are continuing, speaking through their messenger.
And, they're appealing to the Lord and reminding the Lord, not that anyone needs to remind the Lord, but stating at least, the position of Krishna, unlimited power, unlimited opulence, and so on. Now, they say this, your strength is unlimited. Jarasandha, even though he's very powerful, extraordinarily powerful, we've been describing this in the last few days, the strength of Jarasandha was practically unrivaled. Only Kamsa was equal to, or perhaps more powerful than Jarasandha. But compared to Krishna, who can be as strong as Krishna, powerful, beautiful, as famous as Krishna, so on. The opulences of Bhagavan
fully manifested in Krishna, actually unlimited. He is the supreme Bhagavan. So we know that Jarasandha was attacking Mathura, and the other day I was describing that Jarasandha was angry with Krishna because he had killed Kamsa, and Jarasandha had given his daughters Asti and Prapti as wives to Kamsa, and now they were widows. So he was angry with Krishna, so he attacked Mathura. So many, 18 times he attacked. 17 times he was defeated by Krishna and Balaram. Crushed, not only defeated, but here the word crushed is crushed. All his army was vanquished. He went back to his kingdom, Magadha, and he was there, depressed, thoroughly crushed. Each time his ministers spoke to him, rallied him, and again. So again and again, he was very determined, he was very stubborn to defeat Krishna. But we find that each time he was unable to be victorious. But here the kings are saying that on the 18th occasion, close it. On the 18th occasion, he came and just now, if you read the Krishna book, you'll find that at that time, on the 18th occasion, 17, just think of it, 17 times is a lot of times to come and attack. You have to get the army and you have to come and attack. And 17 times he was defeated, crushed. But still he came again, just at the same time, by providence, coincidence or providence, this Kalayavana, who was a king, a Yavana king from the south, who also was touring and conquering kingdoms. He had simultaneously had come to Mathura with millions of soldiers, and his intent was to also conquer over Mathura. Almost simultaneously, around the same time, Kalayavana came, and then simultaneously, or just after, Jarasandha came. Now, when Kalayavana came, it was like a sea of soldiers. So army, and Jarasandha came just after, there was a sea. So, of course, we know the story of Kalayavana, that Krishna led him away. He came out of Mathura, and Krishna led Kalayavana. Kalayavana was pursuing Krishna, and Krishna led him into a cave. And of course, when Kalayavana came in behind Krishna, he saw someone lying, it was a dark cave, and he saw someone lying, and he kicked that person. But actually, it wasn't Krishna, it was a king from ancient times by the name of Muchikunda. Muchikunda was a king who had fought on behalf of the demigods, of the devas, and helped them, assisted them, and they rewarded him. He wanted to be able to rest without being disturbed after fighting for the demigods for so long. He wanted he asked the demigods, "I don't want anything, I just want to be able to rest and not be disturbed. If anyone disturbs me and wakes me untimely, then just by looking at them I will burn them to ashes." So of course Krishna knows everything, and he brought that Kalayavana in the cave, and the Kalayavana kicked the sleeping Muchikunda. Muchikunda woke as soon as he saw Kalayavana. Kalayavana was burnt to ashes by Muchikunda. Muchikunda was actually from a former age. He was lived so long ago, and he was resting for so long. When he came out of the cave, he saw everything was smaller. Trees were smaller, animals were smaller, birds, everything, people were smaller. He left. He saw Krishna. And he understood the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after that, he went to, as mentioned, he went up to the Himalayas, and especially up to Badrikashram, to further perform tapasya, and practice the path of devotional service. So, and then Krishna came back to Mathura and along with Balaram defeated the army of Kaliyada. Just at that time, Jarasandha arrived. Just at that time. Actually, it was mentioned in the story of Krishna Balaram defeating the army of Kaliyada, that they took all the booty and sent all the booty to Dwarka. Just before Kaliyavana came and Jarasandha came, Krishna had sensed, or he knew, that they were coming. And before that time, he decided that this is too much of a disturbance, Jarasandha coming again and again and again, and now this Kaliyavana is coming. So sometime before that, he created the city in the sea, Dwarka, the island in the sea. And when the citizens of Mathura went to rest one night, when they woke in the morning, they found themselves in Dwarka now, in nice palace, everything. Everything was arranged by the mystic power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he created this Dwarka, the island in the sea. And this year, actually, I was visiting Dwarka. Of course, you can go to the Veda Dwarka, there's an island there. But, of course, that is not... According to the Bhagavatam, the Dwarka, after Krishna left, the ocean came and swallowed the island. So the Veda Dwarka is like a... They say it is the actual Dwarka, but it's actually not the original Dwarka. The original Dwarka went under the ocean. But anyway, so this was the arrangement of Krishna. All the citizens were just transported very mystically overnight, and they woke in the morning in Dwarka. But no citizens were there in Mathura. And so the booty from the defeating the army of Kaliyama was sent by Krishna and Balaram to Dwarka. Now, just at that time, Jarasandha came. He had amassed even a bigger army than before. So Krishna and Balaram, looking out, seeing the army, seeing Jarasandha, decided that, now Prabhupada explains there was reason. Here it is said that Krishna decided to act just like a human being. Before, when he was defeating Jarasandha so many times and the army, it was not ordinary humanly possible to be able to do that. But now he decided to abandon the fighting. So Prabhupada explains that there were two reasons for Krishna deciding to abandon the fighting, with Jarasandha and his army. One reason was that Krishna had decided that he didn't want to kill any more soldiers unnecessarily. This was one reason. And Prabhupada explains he had other business to attend to. And that other business, Prabhupada explains, was that he knew Rukmini wanted to marry him. And he knew that she was sending a brahmana with a message, a letter. So he wanted to go to Dwarka to receive that. So in this way, he exhibited his opulence of tyaga, or renunciation, detachment. Normally, for a king to go away from a battle is very shameful, and he would be branded as a coward. Now, when you think about the situation, why would Krishna had already defeated Kaliyama and all his soldiers, already he defeated Jarasandha and all his soldiers 17 times, what was the problem to do it again? No problem at all. But Krishna exhibited his opulence of detachment. Quite often we're faced with situations where we're involved and we cannot extricate ourselves. We cannot detach ourselves just due to the force of the mode of passion or ignorance. We become attached. And even though we should detach ourselves or walk away, go away from it, we should. That is the best course, is to go away. We cannot. Due to one reason or another, we cannot go away. We are very limited in the opulence of detachment. But Krishna, he has detachment unlimitedly. here, whenever he likes. Unlimited. He could have fought, killed, but he is detached. And even he is detached not only from the fighting, or he is detached even from the so-called reputation of the king in the world, you know, because the king, his reputation was very, very important. You know, everyone values reputation, isn't it? But for kings, it is more than just a personal reputation. It is, he needs reputation so that the citizens offer him respect so he can govern nicely. Because, if you haven't got respect, which comes from reputation and other things, then it's very difficult to lead and others follow. Understand this one? It's very difficult. If one loses reputation, one loses respect, and very difficult to lead. If someone hasn't got trust or respect, then they're not very inclined to follow anyone. So for a king, it's very important, over and above his personal feelings, over and above his, just like all of us value reputation, it may be, it may not affect anything else except our personal feelings if we lose our reputation. Well, in some cases it affects our work, but for a king, imagine governing a city or a country, their reputation is very, very important. So they go to great lengths to protect their reputation, to protect the respect of the citizens, of the king. It's very, very important. So they don't walk away from that. They're challenged, they have to do something, they do it to preserve their reputation not only of themselves, of the whole dynasty, of their lineage. That's very important to a king. If I do something, then my whole lineage will be put in ill repute. I will spoil everything. The name of our family will be spoiled. This is very important to a king. Very, very important. So normally, an ordinary king would not have taken this decision. He would have fought. Otherwise, he would have been cowed. For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Especially this applies to the royal order. But everyone, even Brahmanas also, and Kshatriyas. But anyone who's been honored, given respect, then all of a sudden to be dishonored, to be ridiculed, is a very painful, very, very painful. So much so, now Krishna is worse than death. Now he was talking to Arjuna as a Kshatriya. Now, especially we can understand that for a Kshatriya, you've been honored, reputation, everything, to be dishonored, to be ridiculed, to be called a coward, is worse than death. Better you die. Better you die than face that. This is what Krishna was telling Arjuna. Better be dead than to live your life, because your whole life you'll be branded like that. So that is, a Kshatriya can't perform his duty if he is ridiculed, called the coward. Isn't it? You're a big Kshatriya. You know, they have a bit of macho about them too. So you know, you're all of a sudden you're ridiculed, and your whole life you're branded as a coward. You would have to do something to make amends for that. But still, Krishna, he was detached. This is his detachment. He wasn't disturbed by that. He knew interestingly enough, now Prabhupada points this out, that Krishna, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what happened was that when Jarasandha came, Krishna and Balaram both decided to run away. They just ran out of Mathura. And then Jarasandha just ran up. You're calling him coward. Come back and fight, you coward. So he followed, running after Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram ran to one mountain. That mountain was called Pravashana. It was a very high mountain, always covered in clouds. Pravashana means it gets a lot of rain. Pravashana gets a lot of rain. So it was a very high mountain, and they just ran up this mountain. So Jarasandha was following with some of his army. Well, he followed with his army. And he was following, calling out to Krishna, but Krishna and Balaram didn't look back. They just ran up this mountain. Ran right up to the top of the mountain. So Jarasandha followed, taunting Krishna, calling him names, and he followed, but he couldn't find Krishna anywhere on the mountain. Krishna and Balaram were right on the top, and Jarasandha couldn't. So he decided to come back down and then light fires all around the mountain, Which he did. He lit fires and the whole mountain burned up. Went raced up the top, burned up. Krishna Balam looked up. Now this was a very, very high mountain. Krishna Balam looked, saw the fire, and they just jumped off. They jumped off the mountain. Jumped off and landed down the bottom and just went to Gorkha. Now, Jarasandha thought that Krishna Balam, they must be killed. How can they get down? He had his soldiers guarding everywhere. You know, either we're going to smoke them out, burn them out, or they're going to die. No, they didn't come down, so he just assumed that they were killed. Now, Krishna is very famously known as who for doing this?
Ranchur.
And Gujarat especially is very famous as Ranchur. And there are many temples in Gujarat where the temple is there, and the deity is called Ranchur. What's that plane? I just went to one. Thakur. Yeah, I just went there. Not this year, last year I went there. That's a very famous Ranchur temple there, Ranchur deity there. So, interestingly enough, Krishna ran away and he is worshipped for running away. The Prabhupada explains it in that way. A king would run away and he would be condemned, isn't it? No one would worship him. And because Krishna did it, he is worshipped. Why? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why. So his devotees worship him in so many temples. This is a very, Dakar is a very famous temple. But there's so many temples that are Ranchur is there. That he is worshipped. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains like that. He is worshipped. We understand that Krishna is different from ordinary person. But sometimes it appears that he is like an ordinary person, because when he comes to the world, he acts, he takes the part of the ordinary human being, and he just, you know, he engages in activities just like an ordinary human being. But then Krishna does say in Bhagavad Gita, "Avajaranti mam mudha manushim tanamasrita param bhavam janata mama mudamaheshwaram," that fools deride me when I descend in the human form, they do not know my supreme dominion over all that being. So someone who derides Krishna for acting like a human being, thinking that he actually is just an ordinary person, Krishna says, "Avajananti mam mudha." They are mudhas, they are very foolish people. Jarasandha was thinking that Krishna is ordinary. And Prabhupada explains that asuras always try to measure the strength of Krishna, measure their strength and compare it to the strength of Krishna. Asuras always do that. Because why? They're very puffed up. They're very, very puffed up. So Asura, Jarasandha, was always measuring his strength against the strength of Krishna. Krishna's strong, he defeated me last time, because he was there with Balaram and he had so many soldiers. Now I'll get more soldiers, therefore I'll be able to defeat him. So he's measuring his strength. So you have your modern day Asuras, they are also doing the same. God, what is God? God created that. We can also create. Look what we've done. I remember reading an article from some scientist from the CSIRO, and he said, very proudly he proclaimed that, we developed something, DNA, and developed something to accelerate the growth of a certain, I forget what it was, something. And then he was interviewed by some journalist over that, and he said, yes, well, we've been researching this for a long time and experimenting, and now we've through the manipulation of the DNA, we're able to accelerate the growth of this such and such thing. And what took evolution thousands of years, we've now done in just a few short years. Very rapid. Evolution has taken thousands of years. We, being better than evolution, have done it in just a few short years. This is what he meant to say, isn't it? This is what he actually was saying. Not so many words, but that's what he was saying. Evolution has done it in thousands of years. Of course, we don't agree with their idea of evolution. There is a development of nature, but under God. So what God has created, we're able to better that by our manipulation of DNA, whatever they're going to manipulate. Right now, I read an article how they're going to grow, limbs, and in the future they're saying they're going to grow limbs and organs and keep them in a refrigerated state, so that if someone in the future has problem with his liver or that, and like that, or even they're talking about even growing a spare body and keeping it, proud of these things, and if someone in the future has a problem with the head or the arm, we can just get a spare part from over here. So they're very proud. So they measure, you know, when you see it objectively, they measure their intelligence or whatever it is, strength, intelligence, against God's. God is, yes, this is, well, you know, most materialistic scientists, at least, they don't accept God. They just accept that somehow or other everything came about from some sort of big bang or steady state or some from molecules, man came from molecules or something. So they think like that, and they don't accept God. So, but anyway, whatever, even if they just accept nature, now they think they're challenging nature. And if they don't accept God, they do accept nature and material energy, and they do accept that. So now they think they're challenging nature by their... So Prabhupada says Jarasandha was challenging, measuring his strength against Krishna's. So we can say the modern asuras are doing the same thing. Well, look at nature's done it. Let's see what we can do. We're going to challenge. So this is going on. So they always do like that. And why? Because just like Jarasandha, now the kings say here, he is so filled with pride. He dares to torment us. He dares. We are Krishna's devotees. We are your devotees, the kings. They say like that. We are your devotees. So, they're not God, of course. But if you're God's devotee, only a very foolish person would want to do something against God's devotees. Because why? Well, maybe the devotee is small and meek and whatever, and humble. But, you know, God, they're very dear to God. Now, if you want to, you know, do something against the devotee of God, you're more or less doing something against God. Right? If someone's walking a dog, and you come up and kick the dog, right? You come up and kick the dog, what will happen? The owner will be very angry. You won't just have to deal with the dog, you'll have to deal with the owner of the dog. So if someone is so foolish that they think, well, these devotees are very, you know, insignificant, I can do anything, therefore I can do that. But what will happen? God won't be very happy. And they will get some heavy reaction for doing something like that. So therefore the kings say Jarasandha dares to torment us. We are your devotees. And why? Because he is so proud. Now, generally people, especially in Kali Yuga, people are so proud. And pride comes from ignorance. When you're in ignorance, you've got to be proud. There's no two ways about it. It's like a mathematical equation. Ignorance means pride. And when you're proud, you've got to be envious. You have to be. It's like 1, 2, and 3. 1, ignorant. 2, pride. 3, envy. Envy, number 4, anger. Or one come after that, like mathematical equation. Have to be. Oh, I don't know. No. It must be. That is the situation. Because ignorant, you think, you don't understand you are the spirit soul, you are something. I am a king. I am Jarasandha. I am very powerful. So, that is ignorant. So in that ignorance, I am this, I am that, you become very proud. Very proud. And in your pride, actually, you become jealous because you're very proud, you think you're very big, but then someone comes and intimidates you or challenges your position. So then you become envious of that person, become angry with that person, you have to take action against them. So, actually, the most proud people are the most insecure people. They are the most insecure. The more pride one has, the more insecurity they have. Someone who is within themselves, full in Krishna consciousness, is not proud. He's humble. A very humble person. So, but in pride, we can do so many things. We can torment others, harass, persecute, vilify, all sorts of things. And because envy comes and anger comes, and anger, all sorts of things. So this was the position of Jarasandha. Now Prabhupada says, unfortunately, foolish Jarasandha could not understand your tricks. He's been puffed up over his material power and prestige. Foolish, foolish Jarasandha. They're very proud and they want to take on. He wants to take on Krishna. Of course, later on, we know that Krishna didn't even bother with him. He just went with Bhimsena. And Bhimsena was the one who eventually killed Jarasandha. But Krishna wasn't at all one way or the other way. But Jarasandha, you must have, you can imagine, after he had finished on Krishna and Balaram, what he thought, you know, because he burnt the mountain, burnt the slopes of the mountain. He was very haughty, very cocky, very arrogant, boasting to everyone, calling Krishna a coward. So this is what happens also when one is afflicted by pride and arrogance. When one is afflicted by pride and arrogance, you will be very boastful. You will always brag about yourself and those close to you, and consequently also you will always try to minimize others. You want to brag about yourself and minimize everyone else. This is the attitude of a very proud person, a very arrogant person. You are so good and the others are not very good. So Jarasandha was very haughty and bragging. Now the kings are saying, please, you are unconquerable. You are the wielder of the disc, chakra. Yo vait vayad vi navakrit va udata chakra. So we know there are different symbols in the hands of Lord Vishnu, Krishna. Krishna has his chakra. That chakra is meant for killing the asuras. So you are the wielder of the chakra, they say. Please rectify this situation. So they're offering, they're begging for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are your subjects. And devotee is always seeks the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the kings were in this position. Alright, I'll read this verse again if anyone has any question or comment. O wielder of the disc, your strength is unlimited, and thus 17 times you crushed Jarasandha in battle. But then, absorbed in human affairs, you allowed him to defeat you once. Now he is so filled with pride that he dares to torment us, your subjects, O unconquerable one. Please rectify this situation. Any questions, comments? Yes.
You mentioned that if you kick someone's dog, the owner will protect the dog. And in the same way, Krishna will protect his devotees. But when we, in the beginning, we might not feel that we are pure devotees, and we might not have faith that Krishna will protect us, but we might still have anxiety. To what extent does he actually protect us?
To what extent does?
Yeah, how can we actually understand that?
Rectify that. How can we?
It's
a question of surrender. It's a question of surrender to Krishna. The more you give up yourself to Krishna, then the more you'll always feel under the shelter of Krishna. And you'll always feel under the shelter of Krishna, and you'll always feel protected by Krishna. But you don't, 100% feel protected by Krishna because you haven't 100% surrendered to Krishna. So we get afraid. We get afraid, or we get an anxiety, because we're not 100% surrendered to Krishna, and therefore we can't feel 100% the protection of Krishna. If one is 100% surrendered to Krishna, he 100% feels protected by Krishna and feels under the shelter of Krishna. So, but when we're not, then we don't feel that, and then because we don't feel that, then we get an anxiety, or what will happen to me? We have some doubts, or Krishna, or we know theoretically, but I don't, you question it. So it's a question of your surrender. So by practicing, you're learning to surrender more, or give yourself up to Krishna. And I told the story of Draupadi the other morning, And she was trying to hang on to Asari. And in the beginning, when Dushashan was pulling him, trying to hang on, and she realized she just surrendered to Krishna. Well, Krishna will protect his devotee in one way or another. It may not be the way you expect it, but it'll be in some way or other. He'll protect you, and he'll give you shelter. So it's a question of surrender to Krishna, a question of faith, isn't it? The faith will come more strong by surrendering more and having good association with devotees. And it's a question of faith. Your faith is not very strong. Your faith is weak. So therefore you don't feel protected. So you have to strengthen your faith. And that comes from associating with devotees. And by associating with devotees, you learn to surrender more to Krishna. That's a question. Yes?
Similar point. A person who surrendered, do they ever get angry then?
A person who is?
Surrendered. Do they ever get angry?
Do they get angry? Yes, but they can use that anger. You mean like out of control anger?
Yeah, because you were thinking anger to envy. Right? Mm. So, I was just wondering if there are any other sources of anger other than envy.
Yeah, well, the thing is that these things exist, these qualities exist on the spiritual platform. Just like the gopis feel envy. But it's good envy. There's good envy and there's bad envy. It's like, you know, the gopis envy such and such a gopi because she's able to serve Krishna so nicely. They envy her, but they're happy for that gopi. So that's like an envy in a good way. See, but when we talk about envy normally, you know, as described in Krishna, by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and other places, that envy is not good. That's materialistic envy. So envy is there and anger is there, just like Radharani gets angry with Krishna sometimes. But that anger, she gets more attached to Krishna. That anger is actually increasing her love for Krishna. So yes, there's anger in the spiritual world, there's envy there. So pure devotees, they feel just like Hanuman was very angry with Ravana. So that anger was on behalf of Lord Ravana. It wasn't mundane anger. Mundane anger just is uncontrolled and takes over your being, just like mundane envy takes over. Whereas in the spiritual, that serves you. Your anger serves you. So Hanuman used his anger to defeat Ravana. The gopis used envy to increase their service. Well, she's serving so nicely, they're very happy, so they want to increase their service. That envy is a cause for advancing and excelling more in your devotional service. You envy, so nice. You envy them, and that serves to increase your devotional service. Look how they're doing so nicely. I wish I could be like her. And then you try harder. So that's good envy. So the pure devotee sometimes feel angry, just like Prabhupada used to get angry sometimes with his disciples when they were nonsense or something like that. But that wasn't mundane. Fully controlled, because I saw it the next moment, chastised. The next moment, just took something else. They're using anger in Krishna's service. Any other? Yes. Simple rule: if you are in the anxiety to increase your devotional service, and you actually increase your devotional service, and that anxiety is spiritual. But if your anxiety causes you to become morose or angry or whatever, and it decreases your Krishna consciousness, then that anxiety is material anxiety. So it's a simple rule. Just measure it. Measure how much this whatever you're feeling, anxious. Anxiety comes, you're feeling anxious about something. But is that feeling causing you to increase your Krishna or decrease your Krishna? So if it's decreasing material, you have to give it up. Yes?
Well, sometimes, like, if you're trying very hard to be a devotee, then if you have an anxious situation or a good situation, you're still trying to think of Krishna. So, like, is it possible that, you know, Krishna might be saying, why are you creating a life with all of these anxieties? You know, like, because, you know, it's not, is it necessary that you need anxieties to increase your Krishna
that you have to always be in anxiety. But, you know, the devotee is anxious to increase and advance further in Krishna consciousness. You would have to say that there's always a certain degree of anxiety in a devotee because, you know, they're always anxious to advance more. So, in one sense, yes, you don't. You could say, well, there are other factors that, or other qualities that are used to help you advance, but, you know, anxiety would be there for serious devotees because they want to advance further. But that, you have to make sure that anxiety is spiritual. And if you are trying, if you're anxious to, if you want to practice anxiety so you can advance, but you're finding that it's having the opposite effect, then maybe you should. Just like anger, in the beginning stages, you know, these qualities are not, so anger can be used in Krishna consciousness, but for beginning devotees it's not very advised. Because one has to be quite advanced to be able to use anger, all these things. So, for beginning devotees, therefore Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it has to be given up. Lust, greed, envy, anger, it has to be given up. So this is especially, so we follow that. But on the higher level, we can understand that the gopis and the Srimati Radharani feel these things. But we shouldn't imitate them and say, well, I'll get angry at Krishna too. This is for a higher level. Normally, and generally, for devotees, most devotees, we give up anger, we give up anxiety, we give up all these things. And Prabhupada used to preach like that, you know. He said that Vaikuntha means no anxiety. So this Krishna consciousness means no anxiety. So we preach like that. But internally we know that on the higher levels there is anxiety. But it's different from what the karmis think of anxiety. Happen to relate to that. So therefore for them it's just presented on no more anxiety. Yes,
Jarasandha from the spiritual world.
Sorry, say again.
Who is Jarasandha from the spiritual world?
I'm not sure who Jarasandha. I remember reading somewhere sometime, I'm not sure. Certainly went back to the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Died in front of Krishna. Devotion, it is mentioned that if you can, if someone is being unnecessarily angry or criticizing, putting you down or others down, if you can by convincing discussion rectify that person, then you should try to do that. But if you can't, then walk away. You can attempt. But then don't allow yourself to get dragged in and you see there's no effect. Then just go away from that situation. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki.